Together out of reverence and honor to the reading of the Word of God. Isaiah chapter 40, I want to begin reading in verse number 28 and read through the end of the chapter. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of His understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might He increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. I thought this week, over the last couple of days, the Lord began to deal with my heart about these days that we're living in. And seems like, and I've said this many times lately, seems like the majority of the preaching that the Lord has laid on my heart these last weeks and months have been of encouragement or strength for the church. And I believe that it's very needful in these days today. I thought about what the writer of the book of Hebrews said, that we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhort one another, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. It's not necessarily the application of that scripture, is not necessarily that we gather together more, even though that's wonderful and good, and you ought to be in the house of God every time you can. I understand that there are times and situations that we can't be. There are sicknesses and things arise, but every opportunity that we can be, we ought to be. But the reality, the application of that scripture is that in these last days, the days approaching, the day of the coming of the Son of God, and we're in the last days, and Paul said to Timothy that these last days would be perilous times, and that word perilous means hard to bear, difficult to deal with, or a burdensome time. And so the writer knew that we would need to exhort one another so much the more as we see the day approaching. The word exhort, you've heard me say it many times, means to cheer on. It means to encourage. It means to lift the spirits of that one that's downhearted. And we're living in a day where it seems like to me that the majority of the spirits of the people of God are downhearted. But Jesus said there'll be in the last days, in the days of His coming, there'd be wars and rumors of wars. There'd be famine and earthquakes in divers places. That nation would rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. That the love of many would wax cold and iniquity would abound. And all the things that He talked about, although they're negative things, they're happening all around us today. But He said, when you see these things come to pass, lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. It's not a time to be down and out, and I'm not belittling anybody. I know that discouragement comes. I know that difficulties come. I know that depression is a real thing in these last days. But I'm glad for the scripture that we read on Wednesday night, that He's the lifter up of our head. And He said, when you see this come to pass, don't be discouraged, don't be down and out, but be encouraged, for you're just about out of here. And so for the people of God, there's a grand and glorious day that's coming just over yonder. I mean, it's just at the door. We're at nearing the day. That story, that scripture in the book of Acts 27, when Paul was on board the ship, they said about midnight, the shipmen deemed they drew near to some country. I believe the church is living at about midnight, and we're getting close to home. And so it's a reason for us, as the children of God, to take cheer. Paul told the men that day, sirs, be of good cheer. I'm telling you this morning, I know everything's going wrong. I know the world's in a mess, but be of good cheer, for I believe God. And Paul said God told him everything was going to be all right. And I'm telling you this morning that God's already wrote it down. Everything will be all right for the child of God. Everything is all right now, but everything will be okay. There's coming a brighter day. The darkness of the world's closing in around us, but the darkest hour's just before dawn. And the writer of the song said, there's a brighter day coming. And I'm glad to know it this morning. But I thought about all the things that are going on in our nation, all the things that are going on in the world, all the things that are going on among the people of God. And the Lord began to deal with my heart, and just a thought come to me, and then He began to deal with me about some scriptures. He dealt with me, took me to the book of Job, and then He brought me to this book and to several other places. And I just want to preach what's on my heart this morning, if you'll pray for me for just a few minutes. But here, Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 28, Isaiah asked a question. He said, hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? And the Lord began to deal with my heart. I want to preach this morning on, have you heard the news? Now, we're living in a day, and I feel pretty good in my heart this morning. I feel like this is exactly what the Lord wants for us to hear today. So if you'll just pray for me for a few minutes and He'll help me. I'd like to give it to you like He put it in my heart this morning and last night while I was praying. God began to work. And I'm telling you, in these days, it seems like this is the most popular question that's on the lips of everybody coming and going. Somebody every day just about will ask you if you've heard the news. Have you heard the news? I'm going to say this. About every time they say that, you're better off just to say yeah and go on. Because what's coming after, about every time somebody says, have you heard the news? Or have you seen the news? The next thing coming out of their mouth is always something negative to bring you down. There's nothing good on the news. Can I say that honestly this morning? There's nothing. I've not seen anything good on the news. I try not to, and you can call me what you want to. I'm not trying to avoid it. I'm just trying not to get discouraged. I try not to watch the news. But everybody wants to know if you've heard the news. It's always negative. It's always something bad. And the Lord took my heart at first thing when He got to deal with my heart about this message on, have you heard the news? He took me to the book of Job chapter 1. And I thought about old Job as he's sitting there. But now the Bible said he was a perfect man in his generation. He was an upright man, one that feared God and eschewed evil. It does not mean that he was sinlessly perfect, because there is no one except Christ. But it meant that he was doing his best to please God in his day. The Bible said he offered sacrifice daily for himself and his children, just in case they had done something wrong in the eyes of God. But I'm telling you that a good man and a good woman doesn't exempt us from heartache and heartbreak in this world. Paul said, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Job himself said, man that's born a woman has a few days and full of trouble. And so hard times come. But I thought about old Job when he's sitting there in his house with his wife, and he's got 7 sons and 3 daughters. And the way I read it and understand it, they're all out of the house and eating and drinking, taking turns going to each other's house for fellowship. Job has much possessions. He's a rich man blessed by God in the east. But as the story goes, the Bible said a messenger came on a certain day. And I began to read. God began to work in my heart. And it seemed like each messenger to me was coming and saying, Job, have you heard the news? The first one comes, said, have you heard the news? The oxen and the asses were plowing together, and the Sabians fell on them and took them all away, and I'm the only one one left to tell you. And the Bible said, while he spake, another came. And he said, Job, have you heard the news? The sheep are grazing, and they've been taken away, and I'm the only one left to tell you. While he spoke, another came and said, Job, have you heard the news? The camels were out, and everybody come. The enemy came, took them away, and slain the servants, and I'm escaped only alone. And I tell you, that sounds like pretty bad news, don't it? Job lost his ability to sacrifice. Job lost all his possessions, but it didn't stop there. The Bible said, while he yet spake, another came and said, Job, have you heard the news? Your sons and daughters were eating and drinking in their eldest brother's house, and a wind came and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon them and their dead, and I alone am escaped. And I tell you, and the Bible said that Job rent his clothes, and he sat down in sackcloth and ashes, and he said, the Lord had given, and the Lord had taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But it sounds like to me, when the messengers asked, have you heard the news? All they had to tell was something bad. You ever feel like all the news you get is something bad? I'm going to tell you, if all the news you're getting, and I understand, we're living in the world, we're in it, but we're not of it. And it bombards us every day. We see it on the television, we hear it on the radio, we read about it on the newspaper, and if we can avoid all of that, we'll meet somebody somewhere that says, have you heard the latest today? And they want to drag us down and pull us down. It's all negative. And the reason for that is there's nothing good in this world. James said it's all the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, and it is not of God, everything in the world. And so how is it that we're surprised that all the news from the world is always negative and bad and brings about discouragement in our soul? Then I thought about Isaiah here in this chapter. And if you go back and read the majority of Isaiah's writing, he's not writing about positive things. There's a whole lot of woes and a whole lot of judgment that Isaiah writes about. And he's living in a rebellious time among the people of God. And because of their rebellion, Isaiah has a sharp message to preach. He said in chapter 1 that there was no soundness in the body of believers in among the people of God. He said from the top of the head to the sole of the foot, it's wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. Isaiah said there's nothing good that I can see. And God has commissioned me to preach a message of judgment on the people. People of God, does it seem like to you? I'm not knocking any preacher. If they're preaching what God gave them, and that's how it is sometimes. Sometimes we have to preach judgment. The Bible said that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. And sometimes that reproof, as Paul told Timothy, reprove and rebuke and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Sometimes we want to exhort, but God says it's time to reprove and rebuke. And so there are days that it seems like that's what it has to be. But does it seem like to you that about everywhere we look, outside the church and in, everybody has to deal and wants to talk about negative things? Is that how it seems to you? Sometimes that's how it seems to me. But ain't it amazing? And just hang with me, I'm trying to get where I'm going. Ain't it amazing in the midst? Isaiah's wrote 39 chapters so far, and most all of them have been woes and judgment and the wrath of God on the sin. And I understand preaching on sin needs to be done. I understand we didn't get in the shape we're in overnight, and we didn't get here without a knowledge of getting here. And most of us know, the church understands, that the blame for the shape of the church is not to be laid at Washington, it's not at the Supreme Court of the state, but the blame for the shape of the church is to be laid at the door of the church. In the Old Testament, the reason the people of God were in the shape they're in is because that God's people did evil in the sight of God. But ain't it amazing that in the midst of all this woe and judgment and reproof and correction and rebuke, oh, in chapter 41, Isaiah starts off with a word from God. And God says, comfort ye my people. And Isaiah begins to write, in the midst of all the bad that's going on, God said to his people, don't forget who you are. Don't forget you still belong to me. Don't forget that I'm still God. I'm still looking. I'm still watching. I'm still in control. Aren't you glad this morning that in the midst of all the bad news, I'm glad there's some good news to hear. I thought about over in Proverbs. I don't remember the chapter and the verse, but I know it's there. Solomon wrote in Proverbs as cold water to a thirsty soul. So is good news from a far country. And I don't know about you, but in my heart, I understand the shape we're in's bad. I understand our nation's going down, down, down. I understand the world's in chaos. I understand the Lord's soon coming. And there are many, many people that are not ready to meet God. I understand the hopelessness and the helplessness in the hearts and the minds of many people. But deep down on the inside, I feel like over the last couple of days, my thirsty soul's got a cold drink. I've heard some good news from a far country. And it's not from Washington. It's not from the Supreme Court. It's not from our state leaders. But it's farther than that. I'm glad there's a God sitting in heaven. And he wants me to try to encourage you and give you some good news. And so when I preach, have you heard the news? I don't want to preach about negativity. I don't want to preach on doom and gloom. But I want to tell you there's some good news to hear today. Isaiah writes here, and he begins to write what God is instructing his heart to say to his people. And I just got three things I want to give you. Preach how the Lord's put it on my heart, and then we'll go to the house. I want to say there's some good news. I want to know, have you heard the news about the sovereign? Now that's what Isaiah's going to deal with here. He's going to remind people who God is. I want to know this morning, have you heard the news that God's still on the throne? Have you heard the news that God's still in control? Have you heard the news that he's still hearing and answering prayer? Some of us here this morning have witnessed it this week and in weeks gone by. God's still in control and he's still working in these last days. You say, I ain't forgot that God's still in control. I ain't forgot that God's still on the throne. Well, sometimes we just need to hear it again. We may not have fully forgot, but sometimes it ain't first on our mind, and it ought to be. When we look out in the world, and I understand having compassion and pity on them, we ought to have. But when we look around and see the world in turmoil, the first thing that ought to hit our mind is it's all right, because God's still in control. I believe it was Peter that instructed the church to watch and guard lest they should forget that they had been purged from their old sins. That don't mean you can forget you're saved. That's contrary to the Word of God. The Bible said if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new, and all things are of God. And so there's no way to forget that. But what that word forget means, to let it slip or to become less of a priority. And Peter said, if you're not careful, you'll get so wrapped up in the world that God and your relationship with him ain't first on your mind. And I think sometimes in these days the church needs to hear the news again about the sovereign, that God's still on the throne. Now don't let that word scare you. I know it ain't in the Bible, and I know it's been misused by many down through the years, but the word sovereign just means that there's nobody that has any power higher than he is, and that he is in control, and that everything is governed by him. And that's what the Bible said. It said in him we live and move and have our being. John said all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. great. He is the sovereign. He's in control. And He's got it all in control this morning. I thought about what Isaiah said here. He said, "Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard?" Isaiah's asking the same thing I'm asking you this morning. Isaiah said, "Have you heard the news? In the midst of all this stuff that's going on in these days, in the midst of all the darkness, in the midst of all the wickedness, in the midst of all the ungodliness, Isaiah said, hey, I want to know, people of God, have you heard the news about God again?" He said, "Have you? Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard that the everlasting God," I'm glad He didn't just say God, and it'd been sufficient for Him to say God, but Isaiah's going to spell it out in case the people of God have let it slip who God is. He said the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, He fainteth not, neither is He weary. That ought to stir our soul this morning. That word faint means to lose power. The word faint means to struggle. I'm glad God's sitting on the throne in heaven and He ain't a struggling to keep control. There's a whole lot of people, the way they talk and the way they act and the way they live, seem to give the message God's struggling to keep order in this world. I know it doesn't make much sense to us in all the chaos, but I've been reminded this week of Israel when they demanded from God a king, and God said, "I'm your king, I'm your ruler," but they wouldn't leave it alone. And so God told Samuel to anoint Saul and to give them what they wanted. I'm afraid in this day, America may be getting what she wants, and the world may be getting what it wants. But I'm going to tell you, the whole time Saul was king, whether it's in the good days or the bad, I'm glad God was still in control. And I'm telling you, in these days, when America may be getting, I'm not trying to badmouth her, I'm still of the opinion we live in the greatest nation on the face of the earth. But I'm afraid she's reaped some seeds, and she has planted some seeds, and she's reaping the harvest. But I'm glad in the midst of it all, God's still in control. He fainteth not. That word faint means to tire out or lose strength. I'm glad the Lord's not lost any strength. And it said, not only does He faint not, neither is He weary. The word weary, that means that He loses interest or He struggles to finish. I'm glad God is not struggling to keep His people, but I'm glad He's keeping us as He always has. There is no searching of His understanding. I was sitting last night reading over this, and the Lord spoke to my heart. And He said, in these days, all these troubles and these problems come against the leaders of our land. And when the questions come, they don't have an answer. And they're what we call at a loss. But I'm going to report to you this morning some good news from a far country, that there never has been a question God don't have the answer for. There never has been a problem He don't have the solution. He never has been at a loss on how to help His people, but He's already made a way to help us through it all. There's no searching of His understanding. He giveth power to the faint. That's spiritual encouragement there. That word power means spiritual strength or strength of heart to those that are discouraged or down in heart. I'm glad God's in that business this morning. Then it said, He, not only that, but He giveth to them that have no might, He increases strength. That's physical. Those that feel like they can't go on, I'm glad the Lord has strength for them. When Paul said, "I can't do it," the Lord said, "You're right. My strength is made perfect in your weakness." And I'm glad He can give might to those that have no strength. Then it said, even the youth. Now Isaiah's making it rational here. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. He said, even the best of the best, there'll come a day they can't go on. But He said, but they that wait upon the Lord. He didn't put in an age. He didn't say the young men and young women that wait on him. He didn't say the old men and old women or the middle-aged men. He just said, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. That's not just physical, but that's inward. The Bible said, though the outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. They shall run and not be weary, walk and not faint. I want to know this morning, have you heard the news about the sovereign? But then the Lord began to deal with my heart, and I'm about done this morning. I want to know, have you heard the news lately about the Savior? I'm glad there's some good news to tell about Him. And I thought, and I'm not just trying to preach because it's Christmas time, but I thought this morning, oh, the Lord stirred my heart about that day on them old shepherds, and I got sheep at home, and I was watching over them the other night, and watching out the wind, and the Lord began to work in my heart about them boys. The Bible said they was keeping watch over their flock by night. It'd been hundreds of years since any word from God had come, and it seems to me, and I've said it 100 times, but I feel like I need to say it again. It seems to me like God would have sent the word to the religious leaders, under the Pharisees or the scribes or the priests of that day, but no, out yonder on the hillside watching their flock by night, some lonely shepherds nobody thought anything about, but yet the Bible said the angel of the Lord came upon them, the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were so afraid. But I'm glad the angel said, fear not, for I bring you good tidings of great joy. In other words, he said, I got some news that you need to hear. And he said, yonder in Bethlehem, Judea, is born a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And I'm telling you, like this time of year, I enjoy it probably about as good as any time of year. And I'm so glad he came. But I'm going to tell you, if you're still dwelling at a baby in the manger, you missed it. Because that wasn't just why he came. He didn't come just to be born in a peculiar fashion, but he was born of a virgin without spot, without blemish, the perfect Lamb of God. But he didn't stop there. But he lived a sinless 33 plus years, and he died a victorious substitutionary death on the cross at Calvary. He appeased the wrath of God on man. But I'm glad he didn't stop there. I thank him for coming. I thank him for living. I thank him for dying. But Paul said, if Christ be not raised, our faith in vain. But I'm glad he said, I know men take my life, but I lay it down. He said, I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it up again. And he said, as Jonah was in the belly of the whale 3 nights and 3 days, he said, even so must the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth. And so if you're dwelling at a manger, can I tell you some good news? If you're still dwelling at Calvary, and I understand, I'm not knocking that, but don't just look there. There's some good news. The Bible said very early in the morning, on the first day of the week, the women went down wondering who was going to roll the stone away. And they looked, and it was rolled away already. And they looked in, he wasn't there. And the angel said, why seek ye the living among the dead? He's not here, but he has risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay. And I'm going to tell you this morning, I'm not knocking the experience. It was a blessing to me. And I'm not knocking anybody else's experience, or if you ever had the opportunity to go. But I walked in what they say. It was his tomb in the garden there in Jerusalem, outside the city, in the garden some years ago in 2008. In a march, I walked in and turned around, and on the door was the sign said, he's not here. He has risen, as he said. And something leaped inside my heart. But then the Holy Spirit spoke to me, and he said, you didn't have to get on an airplane and ride 17 hours to get here just to find out he ain't here. But as the writer of the song said, if you knew him like I knew him, you'd know he's alive. I'm glad I can feel him in my heart, and I know that he's alive this morning. Have you heard the good news about the Savior. I thought, oh, the shepherds had some good news to tell. The Bible said they returned glorifying and praising God for the things they had seen and heard. And it ain't in there, but I think it's in there between the lines. I think everybody they met on the way back, they said, have you heard the news? He's born. Have you heard the news? See, they've been watching for him for thousands of years. And there's many that come along that they thought was him, but it wasn't him. But on this blessed Bethlehem night, the Son of God was born. And they said, have you heard the news? But then I thought, after the days were accomplished and he was brought by his mother and Joseph into the temple. And there was a man by the name of Simeon there. And the Bible said the Lord had promised him that he would not see death until he had seen the Lord's Christ. Now you read this story and then you put it in our perspective. Here comes a woman in with her newborn baby that's not very old. I don't know if she knows who Simeon is. There's no record that they ever met before this day. But here comes a man that walks over to her from a newborn baby in a mother's arms and takes him away. And the Bible said he lifts him up toward heaven and he said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. And he begins to praise God. And he gave him back to Mary and walked out of the temple. And don't you agree this morning there's some coming in? He said, have you heard the news? He's come. And I've seen him for myself. You say, well, I can't tell it like the shepherds. And I can't tell it like Simeon. Oh, but the Lord pricked my heart this morning. And he said, if you're saved, you can tell it too. You got something to tell. I believe anybody that ever had a meeting with him. I thought about that woman at the well. She'd come that day thirsty at the hour. But she knew nobody else would be there because she wasn't a very good woman. She had lived a very rough lifestyle. She was not somebody you'd want your daughter to grow up to be like. Jesus said, you had five husbands, and the one you're with now is not your own. But I'm glad when she left, she had something to tell. And she went back in the city and said, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? You say, well, she wasn't no shepherd and she wasn't Simeon. No, but she met the Lord and she had something to tell. And I'm telling you, in these dark days when the world's a-reeling and a-rocking and everybody is a-running to and fro trying to find some peace, you and I as the people of God that are saved by grace, we got some good news we ought to be telling. Good news about the Savior. But then I thought, and I'm done. The Lord said, have you heard the news about, not just about the sovereign, not just about the Savior, but have you heard the good news about the sweet by and by? That this world's not our home. We're just passing through. I thought about the Savior part. I thought about that song in the old Redback book. It says, we have heard the joyful sound. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Boy, that's some good news, ain't it? But then I thought about, and it may not be in that Redback book, but there's a few people in this same county that we used to have meetings with, and they'd always come to sing. And I remember Sister Lockie to stand and sing, and she'd say, they asked me why I struggle along when it seems all hope's gone. And the chorus said, I've heard of a land where there's no more dying, no more sorrow, grief or pain. I'm glad this morning there's a better day. I already said it before I started preaching this morning. There's a better day and a brighter day coming. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place. But he didn't just say, I'm going to prepare it He said, I'm going to prepare it for you. And so that means it's not just a prepared place, but it's a personal place. He said, I'm making a place just for you. It ought to do our hearts good this morning to know that it will say we got a place just for us. And it's a perfect place. I thought about all the no mores. No more sorrow. No more crying. No more pain. No more death. No more sin. No more bad news. No more Satan. No more flesh. No more struggle. No more separation. No more fear. No more doubt. No more crying. No more trouble. No more suffering. All of it will be peace and joy forevermore. It's a perfect place. That's some good news, ain't it? I think there's as much to shout about heaven as what won't be there as there is what will be. I'm glad the Bible said the former things are all passed away. That's what the scripture said. And to borrow a line from Brother Jim Seaton, he said, that's one funeral I'll be glad to attend when the former things are passed away. What a perfect place. But I want to say, thank God it's a permanent place. Paul said, the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of the archangel. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. It's a perfect place, but it's a permanent place. And the writer of Amazing Grace, old John Newton, who was a wicked man, but God saved him by His grace. He wrote these words that we sing so often yet don't think too much about. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. What John was saying is what it said in the book of Revelation, time will be no more. It'll be forever and forever and forever. And when 10,000 years in man's years have passed, we'll just be getting started. It won't be any less days because it's a permanent place for the child of God. I'm glad for good news this morning. I'm glad my heart has been stirred and encouraged to know that in the midst of all the bad news, I'm glad because of Him. It ain't because of me and it ain't because of you, but it's all because of Him. I'm glad there's some good news. Have you heard it this morning? I don't want to know this morning if you've heard it with your ears, but I want to know if way down deep on the inside of your soul, my voice has been past my voice. Don't hear my voice. Hear His. And I know there's good news to hear in the midst of dark days. I'm glad there's a better day coming. And I'm glad, as I said and have said a few times already, if you're saved this morning, it's not going to be all right. It is all right. That's good news for me that it is all right now for the child of God. Have you heard the news? Father in heaven, I thank You, Lord, this morning for this privilege.